intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Here we are, Tim McDonald. We're on the eve of E3. I know you're very excited about that. I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited to work long hours, putting up lots of trailers and things.
I want to die more than usual.
Hooray!
What part of E3 are you excited for, Peter, other than the end?
Shit. You've chosen my best option and whisked it away from me.
I've chosen the only option, Peter.
Something about the spectacle of an incredibly self-indulgent series of video game trade shows does still appeal to me on some level, because yeah, you get a few interesting games that come out of it. There'll be some interesting fuck-ups, I'm sure. Those are always good. And there are some bits that I can ignore, like whenever Microsoft talk about their new console, I can pretty much just dispassionately observe that. Although most of those games will probably be on Windows 10, so...
Until it turns out that their new console is actually just a PC that plugs into your telly.
Well, would that really change our coverage in any meaningful way, though? I'm not sure it would.
Probably not.
Consoles are basically PCs that plug into your telly now, aren't they?
I think. Custom operating systems and so on and so forth. And custom architecture, which is why porting stuff from some of the consoles can be a pain in the ass.
This is why the Steam Box didn't take off, because that was just a PC that plugged into your telly.
Yeah, we've skipped over something very important.
What's that?
This is Podcast 81. I want to know what your album for 1981 is.
Oh, I never
following on from the theme that we established last week.
Can I check whether I'm not sure which Susie and the Banshees album came out in 81, whether it was Kaleidoscope or Juju. Let me have a look. They're both good though.
There was some. I actually did research this time. There was some good stuff that came out in 1981.
Go for it. I'll just do some research.
I feel like Paul might actually murder me if I didn't mention Moving Pictures by Rush,
as featured in an episode of Harvey Birdman as the highest level of terrorist threat, I believe.
Yes.
Or something similar. Kaleidoscope was 1980, so
yes, I did see Susie and the Banshees somewhere in the list, I'm sure.
It's got to be Juju in 81.
Juju.
81. Yeah, that's one of their best ones. That's great. That's got Spellbound on it. That's good. Yeah, that's a good album. It's a bit weird, but
I feel like mentioning the Police's album Ghost in the Machine might be worth a mention. That was a slightly controversial album, but
was it? Why was that? I don't
know. If I remember rightly,
I'm not a massive Police fan beyond their top hits.
Yeah, if I remember well, that's the thing. I think that album was like one which had like one top hit on it.
It's one for the purists.
It's not a bad album. It's just, it's not one of the famous ones.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of news this week.
It is one of the famous ones because it's by the Police, which automatically makes it famous. But
sure,
beyond that,
yes.
No, there isn't a lot of news this week.
Do you think the listeners have noticed? we're in this sort of limbo spot where, well, to be
probably,
there is a lot of news. There's a lot of news along the lines of here's a trailer for a game that doesn't really make for good podcast discussion in any way.
We already spent, like last week, I swear to God, we spent more time talking about 1980s music than we have so far. And
old TV presenters from the BBC.
We've already just discussed E3 a little bit as well. I would say we're more on track than we were last week.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's true. Shall we get back to it a little bit? Come on. Have you played this Dota 2 co-op thing at all? It's come out.
Is it good? I played it. Yeah, it seems okay. It's not the sort of thing you want to play with randoms, because it requires coordination and people not being fucking morons.
Is it a bit like a sort of high-level MMO raid or something where you need proper... Yeah,
that's the easiest way to think of it, really, is it kind of works like an MMO instance or raid, only it's quite hard, unlike many MMO instances and raids. Lots of little bits and pieces, like, oh, these enemies telegraph this big attack and you need to move out of the way, and lots of stuff that you would think wouldn't be that difficult to pick up on, but I guess if all you play is Dota, maybe it is. That when the big ogre raises the club behind his head, you really want to run around to the side or something, so he doesn't...
That does seem like video game 101 logic, yes.
Well, it stops him stunning you and taking off half of your health, so, yeah. You know, you play it with randoms. Like, I've been playing it with one friend, and... because you need a full party of four, two people in random queue, and inevitably you'll get one person who just like picks up all the items, doesn't share them with anybody, and runs off miles ahead and dies.
and then gets smacked by an ogre.
Starts screaming about how we're all terrible, and then fails to dodge any of the enemy attacks.
Typical stuff.
Basically, yeah. So... Yeah. It's made me hate everybody a little bit more.
Excellent. I've got a question. Why is it called Siltbreaker?
Because the big villain is called Siltbreaker, I believe.
Okay.
It's imprisoned in the Dark Reef, which is a prison, as you would think when I said he was imprisoned there. It looks like he's breaking loose, so... The heroes have to go and track him down and duff him up or something. First of all, we have to go and duff up someone else.
Could they not just contact the authorities and leave it to the...
I think they are the authorities. That's the problem.
I see. So they've been like, contacted.
Yeah, right. And they're like, shit. I guess the heroes in this case are kind of like, I don't know, the fantasy equivalent of like a SWAT team or something.
I suppose so.
It's like everything's going wrong. Better call them in.
SWAT team with magical powers.
And they will start at level one with no items except for a pair of boots.
That's like when JC Denton was sent out as a crack agent who could barely use a pistol.
Yes.
Or do much of anything else.
Although, in fairness, he did manage to do quite well, despite the fact that his pistol aim is worse than mine.
Yeah, he did alright for himself in the end.
Actually, is his pistol aim worse than mine? I'm just trying to think how long, like, if I was standing still, how long would it take me to line up a shot on something? My pistol aim would be a bit better than his. I haven't fired a gun in a few years, but...
I mean, I think the sort of kickback would definitely throw me off, but I'm fairly confident I wouldn't aim it and just kind of waggle the barrel all over the place in front of my target.
I mean, it wasn't so much that. It was more like the fact that the reticle started out being the size of this fucking screen, and then it gradually got smaller. I'm just thinking, like, if I was aiming at someone, I would think that it would take me less time than that to actually be like, okay, I've probably got it on target now.
Yeah.
As I said, I haven't fired a gun in a few years, so there's probably some people in our comments are going to fucking scream at me for this.
I'm going to investigate this further, Tim. Did you get away with the murder when you when you fired that gun? Presumably you did, because you're out.
This is one of those questions that I can only answer with moo, isn't it? Because you've made an assumption that is incorrect. Whoa. So I can't answer yes, I got away with the murder, or no, I didn't get away with the murder, because there was no murder.
So that's your story, and you're sticking to it, that's fine.
Because there is no statute of limitations on that, so...
never fired a gun myself beyond a light gun, so my expertise in this area is zero.
There's a rifle club down the road from where I live, which I used to frequent when I was younger. Just firing
fair enough
stuff that Americans would probably laugh at.
What's this? Like, I can't blow up a tank with this. This is pathetic.
Exactly. It doesn't have all the scopes and flared magwell and all the other stuff. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about.
Painfully clear we don't know what we're talking about.
It was a fucking bolt action rifle. It was, you know.
All right. Fair enough. I'm familiar with them through video games, which is probably incredibly inaccurate.
Like, this was considerably less powerful than the sort of things that you would see in a video game.
Right. Also, it says this is Act 1. Is it going to be like 3 acts, or have they just not said really?
2 acts.
2 acts, alright, okay.
That's assuming that, Valve can't count 3, we know this.
Now then, we've been here before with Valve, but...
They tried to put off making Half-Life 3 by doing Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and then they made it all the way to Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and then they stopped again, and now they're still trying to figure out how they can do another Half-Life game without another 3 in it.
Yep. I don't know, revisit the original Half-Life for some reason.
Yeah, but people have
some
like...
some sort of prequel.
The thing is, I think that has been... like, that horse died a long time ago and is still being consistently flogged.
You can't even consider it a horse anymore. It's decomposed and it just... sort of the natural materials.
That's the thing, I mean, we had Half-Life. We had Half-Life Source. We had the Half-Life mod, I forget the name of it, which, like, redid a load of the textures and bits and pieces and made it look all pretty and... so on. And then, you know, you can't even say, oh, well, it could be a prequel or a side story, because we had Opposing Force and we had Blue Shift. So we've kind of... this mine is empty. There is nothing left in there. Can we stop going back to Half-Life 1 now? It's a very good game. Like, it is a really good game.
Yeah.
But kind of done with it at the moment.
Too much, yeah. The Half-Life isn't going to happen. Things that are happening, lots of Total War games. Just all endless Total War games.
At E3.
All Total War expansions, there will be one Total War game at E3 at least. Warhammer 2 will be making an appearance in some capacity. It's on the PC gaming show, and they've got a booth and everything, so they'll be there.
That does actually seem like a good fit for the PC gaming show.
It does.
Hopefully this will actually be something worth paying attention to, because the PC gaming show has not had the best start, because it kind of, rather than it being like reveals and interesting interviews and commentary and stuff, it mostly seems to be, hey, you're a guy who's making a game, how's that game going? It's going well, excellent, here's the trailer you saw a month ago.
Sort of, okay, I mean, that's good. I like Armor 3 as well, but, you know, it's not... there's nothing massively new to report. I guess I don't know what they'll show at the gaming show, whether they'll have a...
Would you presume
gameplay or something, but, you know.
Would you be happier? Yeah, I would assume so. I'm hoping that this year the PC gaming show does actually kind of... I don't know, actually have some planned reveals and stuff. It's been going for, what, 2 years now? So...
Yes.
Hopefully it's got enough of a cachet that some developers are thinking, hey, we should actually do a reveal on this thing.
Also, it's dropped AMD as a sponsor, so it might be more professional now.
We'll see. I was going to ask, would you be happier if it was... show full of reveals and we had to do shitloads of work during the entire thing, or if it was the usual? Because I've been thinking about this, and it's like, on the one hand, it's E3 and I really don't want to do any more work than I have to, but on the other hand, watching it and going, okay, this is going to be a bit where there's something I'm going to have to write about, I'll pay loads of attention, Okay, that was nothing. Okay, this bit. I'm going to pay attention to this. There's going to... Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It gets a little draining.
I guess I'd like a clear delineation between this is something genuinely properly new that we're going to show now and this isn't. And my ideal E3 press conference is when they have something that I need to write about and then like one or two things that I don't, and then so that's a natural break of about 15 minutes and then back to the thing that I need to write about again, because then it's nicely paced, you know. So really, also, I'd like the PC gaming show to pace itself for my convenience.
It also works really well if they pace it out so that it's stuff that like you and I can alternate writing about, so they don't
that's good too.
Total War immediately followed by Football Manager immediately followed by FIFA.
Yeah.
Then I'm sat there twiddling my thumbs and you're sat there crying, I suppose.
And then it does, I don't know, Heroes of the Storm followed by, whatever.
Yeah, then we get the Blizzard, the Blizzard Power Hour. Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch.
If Blizzard will be there again or not. I mean, they were last year and I can't remember if they were the first year or not.
I don't remember whether they were at that. I do remember that they were very briefly at Sony's one to announce Diablo 3 on console, which nobody cared about.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, obviously people like bought it and cared about it, but I don't think anyone was blown away by the announcement. Which is weird, because Blizzard kind of have a history of avoiding E3, and now they seem to be going, well, actually, maybe. We'll come back for a little bit.
Yeah, for all the talk of publishers kind of abandoning it or sort of shifting to doing their own thing, like EA, that is, Blizzard is someone who seems to have kind of been drawn into it a little bit more.
I mean, Blizzard still do BlizzCon, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. But that's a totally different time of year, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Total War stuff. They have said, so not for Warhammer 2, but for the first Warhammer game, they're going to do another faction race pack of some kind.
Where are they going to fit?
Well, they said it's not Kislev, so not there. I don't know. They kind of cryptically said, oh, this is a thing that will affect all of the other factions. And I don't think they just mean... because they'll be fighting you.
I was wondering
if it was going to be like a mercenary Dogs of War type of thing, you know, where everyone can recruit them.
That's a possibility. I was kind of wondering if it might be. It's not going to be, but the Skaven would still fit quite well with this, I feel.
Ooh. That would be a hell of a twist if they were going to sort of be added to Warhammer first and then appear more properly in 2 or something.
I mean, that's like, I don't know if the Skaven kind of worked as a sort of chaos style mechanic, although also possibly as a playable race, and then they're also in Warhammer 2 either as more fully fledged, or the Skaven are just in both games as kind of the one faction that appears in both places.
I mean, that would surprise me. I just think they're saving the Skaven for 2.
It would surprise me as well, but it's a possibility.
I can see it more likely being something. They've ruled out Kislev, but being one of the other factions, like, I don't know, Border Princes or the Norse lot or something, becoming playable.
That's boring, though.
It is a bit boring, yeah.
Okay, I mean, maybe it won't be. Maybe they'll have their own sort of very unique everything. Or maybe these will be like the traditional Total War factions where they have like one unique unit.
I don't know, but that's coming out before Warhammer 2, whenever Warhammer 2 comes out. That's still later this year, supposedly, although I can see that moving to early next year quite easily. What else? So yeah, on the historical front, they are also doing a major expansion for one of their prior historical games, probably Attila or Rome 2. I'm gonna say probably Attila. Rome 2 seems a bit far away.
It just reminded me that I need to reinstall Shogun 2.
It's not Shogun 2 because the concept art they shared was a very Roman type looking guy.
That, and also Shogun 2 is pretty well filled out
done
at this point.
Yeah,
I mean we've actually had like two entire eras in Shogun 2 already.
They are also doing a full standalone game in a period of time they say they have done before but haven't really done justice to. That was a bit vague.
I have an idea about this, but I'm going to have to quickly check.
They mentioned Shogun 2 in reference to this, in the sense that they like doing these standalone ones as periods in history that were big sort of potential turning points, and they used Fall of the Samurai as an example of the sort of thing they will be going for with this, whatever it is. And while you're looking, I will also say that they reminded everyone that they're also doing their major historical title as well. So there's like three historical things in the works.
They're really just trying to appease all the people who burst into tears at the Warhammer 2 announcement, aren't they?
Pretty much. And going about it fairly well, it seems like. They're doing quite a lot of stuff.
Well, when they say that it's a period they've touched on but haven't done justice to, there are two things which spring into my brain, which are the non-Total War games that they did, like Spartan Total Warrior. Viking Battle for Asgard. Maybe Alien Isolation.
Alien Total War.
I think that they actually did that justice. So
yeah.
Whereas with Spartan Total Warrior, if they did something focused on like heavily on the Greek city states and
like real that focused in.
Yeah, that seems way more likely to me. That would be a period that they have done but did not do justice to anyway.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Sparta and the Greek states have been in like Rome 2 and things like that, but as a sort of minor player kind of thing.
But then again, that's also true of, I suppose, a lot of other bits and pieces, like things like medieval and so on, do tend to focus on larger scale stuff, while Shogun was very much smaller scale, so I would expect...
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if this was something Greek city-state related. I'm probably going to be totally wrong, and they're going even further back to when they made Stunt Car Racer.
Where would Stunt Car Total War be set? Stunt Cars. I don't know where the big stunt car events happen. Europe somewhere, maybe.
Why does Creative Assembly's games list? Hang on, I need to check this shit. Oh, okay. Creative Assembly also made the PC versions of the early FIFA games.
Oh God! Finally, FIFA Total War Hooligan Edition,
and also rugby and cricket.
I think. It was Mountain Blade had a mod that was like Glaswegian hooligan mod that was like you played as either a Celtic or a Rangers fan. So you know, it's definitely scope for Total War there. Might be a little bit controversial. A touch, and you know, sieges have also been a bit rough in Total War, so I don't know if you want to have like hooligans in football stadiums.
I was just looking up the list of the other non Total War games that they had made, and that was a Total War game in a sense. It was just a shit third person action adventure with the Total Warrior branding.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was just kind of looking at the other stuff they did because I couldn't remember for certain if that shitty third-person action game they did was set in the Greek city-state stuff. And it was, right. I guess.
So, sequentially, what we're going to have is new faction for Warhammer first, probably. DLC expansion for, I'm going to say, Attila, most likely. Possibly for Rome 2. Then their standalone historical one. Then Warhammer 2. Then their next major historical one. That seems to be the sequence that they're going for. So yeah, plenty to look forward to if you like Creative Assembly's style of strategy game. Yes. Particularly if you like both the Warhammer and the historical stuff, which I do. So yes. Hooray for me.
Yes, you've got many hours of fun and really bad AI ahead of you.
It's getting better. It's getting better.
It is getting better.
It's all right in Warhammer. You know, I prefer their battle AI to their campaign map AI. That still feels... It's one of the things I don't like about their game still, is that it feels like... Yeah, you are playing against a bit of a robotic AI rather than, oh shit, the orcs are after me. It's kind of like...
I will agree, although I will also point out that like the early bits in Warhammer could be pretty rough, because I just remember like the first time I played where the game was like, oh hey, you should go and attack this unit. And that unit happened to have like twice as many troops as I did and all the rest of it. The tutorial lied to me, Peter.
It was just a suggestion. You didn't have to. Well, but to see the old guy who does the tutorial is totally an agent of Tzeentch, so he's just fucking with you.
This is a fair point. And no matter which way it goes, it's all according to Tzeentch's plan.
Yep. The problem is that that's not really a good basis for a tutorial. So... Unless you're Dark Souls, then it's fine.
Souls tutorial is fair. It just kind of taunts you. Like Dark Souls 3, I believe, which has the... Wait, was it Dark Souls 3? Which has a thing on the floor saying, don't go down this path. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a big fucking monster down there.
Yeah, that was
like, it's honest. You really don't want to go down that path. It's just that because it wrote that, you're going to.
I also think it's really funny in the second DLC for the Ring City DLC, where there's bits that you have to fall off from a great height, and it has the developer message saying, jump here, PS, it'll be fine, you totally won't die.
Yes.
Because of the sheer amount of, you should try jumping here, messages there are all through the game. Good stuff. Right, I want your opinion on something, Tim.
I am very opinionated.
I don't know how much you saw of this, the Cyberpunk 2077 thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, okay.
This
CD
is
Projects,
where they were.
Yeah, they put up a statement yesterday saying we had some documents nicked from us. The person who did it is trying to ransom them back to us. The stuff they stole includes some early design documents, thoughts about Cyberpunk 2077. The game's pretty different now, so if you see it, if it comes out, then whatever. It's not official and it's old stuff. We're not going to pay the ransom because fuck them. And that's why it might appear in the public domain, because that's what they've threatened to do. Now, I am pretty sure this is real, but... do you think there's a chance this is some weird marketing thing? Because it is very cyberpunky.
That's
what's giving me pause.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There is a chance, but I think this is real.
I would be
100% convinced it was real if they actually then followed this up and came out and said, by the way, this is not an arc. This is a real thing.
As far as I know, they haven't done that. They may have done at this stage by today, if enough people ask them. I've just seen enough of these sorts of things that there was a sort of a small part of me thinking, am I just reporting on this credulously and actually it's some weird game.
I know what you mean, and yeah, it's possible. I would imagine it's real. They've never done anything like this before that I know of.
No, it's not really their style, I don't think.
No.
And the tone certainly seems more, no, this actually happened and we're quite pissed off about it.
Yeah.
No,
which, I would.
Understandably, they would be.
I expect that this is real. But there is a possibility, a small possibility, that this is indeed a marketing exercise.
If we proceed with the assumption that it is real, I think they've done exactly the right thing here. They've gone, oh, really? You're going to leak this stuff? Well, all right. Go ahead. We don't really, well, we care, but we're not going to try and pay you off to prevent that happening, because that's stupid. So,
and yet, good decision. When were these documents nicked?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
So I haven't had like an email from them saying that they've had a breach in their system and I need to change my password. Usual standard operating procedure for this.
So,
I mean, I would assume that like their corporate server is very different to their public forum stuff. But
I mean, maybe it was physically stolen. Maybe someone who was around their office point.
Is this like a fucking government leak where someone left a briefcase on a train?
Yeah, it's just a USB stick. Well, I mean, you know, who knows if they've had some sort of intern program at CD Projekt or some people being shown around at some point who just kind of snagged something off a desk. I don't know. For some reason, the way it was phrased, my assumption was that they had been like physically stolen, but of course that's not necessarily the case, of course.
I don't know, but yeah, the long and short, I believe that this is real. I also, harsh as this sounds, I also kind of hope this is real, because I could do without becoming even more cynical about developer statements. I wish that this had never happened in the first place, but because they have put out this statement, I hope that it is real and not the start of a bullshit ARG.
Yeah.
Where and also, ARG is like the worst acronym.
ARG.
ARG. Actually,
it's
one of those.
Whenever I see them.
Yeah, it's pretty much an onomatopoeia for exactly what it is. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So I mean,
and yet there are actually a few ARGs I enjoy, although those are specific games that are essentially built to be ARGs. Like the Secret Worlds investigation missions are basically those.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
as opposed to the marketing exercises that happen on Twitter.
Indeed.
Or Valve's shit like, hey, if you get all these achievements, we'll release Portal 2 sooner. 5 hours sooner!
Lols. Trolled again by Valve.
You'd think we'd have learned by now. Valve releasing something on time or early.
Well, I mean, that one was early. Can't deny it.
It was.
It hit all the parameters of an early release.
It did.
It was just very disappointing overall. Not the game. Portal 2 was great. Right. Two multiplayer focused games basically had a relaunch of sorts this week. Mirage Arcane Warfare, which was by the guys who did Chivalry, Torn Banner Studios.
Which one was that? Because I've got
Chivalry.
I know what Chivalry was.
Right, okay.
Which one was Mirage? Because I can think of like three multiplayer only games that had wizards. And
this is
were,
maybe
like first person-y things.
This one was sort of Persian themed, not like historical Persia, but kind of mystical magical Persia.
You know what? I'm just gonna Google this game.
Yeah, do that. And so they're having like a free weekend at the moment. Actually, if you want to play Mirage Arcane Warfare, that is happening right now on Steam. You can play it with people who are probably new, so you won't die horribly. It'll be good fun.
Greeted with a screenshot of a fat man on a magic carpet. This looks like a game I want to play.
That sounds like the game. Yeah. This is, I mean, it's kind of bizarre in the sense, I mean, Chivalry did amazingly well. They just haven't translated the Chivalry players to Mirage for whatever reason. I presume that's because the Chivalry players played it in beta and thought, nope, don't really like this very much. So they're therefore having to get new players in rather than just transferring their old player base over. Having not played it, I don't have much to say on that. I have played Chivalry a little bit. That was good times. I think we even did a video on that.
Did we not, Tim?
I think we played a bit of Chivalry.
I thought that's something we would do.
Yeah.
I know, I played Chivalry.
Yes, it had a dedicated button for just yelling, which was excellent.
Who doesn't want that? Well, in any case, yeah, Mirage has a free weekend. You can play it free for 2 days. Hooray.
Yep. So we'll see if they get more players from that. And also, our old friend Battleborn has gone free to play, mostly, kind of. You can play all of the multiplayer bits. The cooperative competitive bits in multiplayer, I think you can play for free.
Wait, you can play the co-op? Like the campaign?
Maybe not, actually. That might be lies. No, you can't play that. I don't think.
I got the impression it was basically the competitive multiplayer stuff.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right. And you don't get all the characters. They're going to rotate a roster of six in the traditional fashion manner of that. So that's a game you can try out as well now if you want.
I'm kind of pleased by this. I don't know if it'll help, but Battleborn was one of those games which I played briefly and thought, yeah, this is all right. They just made the mistake of releasing it at the same time as Overwatch.
That was a big mistake, yes.
I mean, it's not a bad game. I quite enjoyed what I played of it. Not the beta. I didn't enjoy the beta. But I did quite enjoy what I played otherwise, and I would hope that it's been like patched up and is a bit better now.
We can assume.
I will say that making this pseudo free to play is probably a good move.
And you can also do the thing where, if you pay, like, I think it's $30 or something, you unlock the full thing.
Yeah.
Or you can do piecemeal, I only want this hero, so I'll just buy them type of thing.
And this gone over before, my favourite model of free-to-play if you're not Valve and can't actually just make everything but cosmetics free. Like, don't, if you're going to give me the option to buy stuff piecemeal, can you also give me the option to just pay like £20 and get everything?
Well, the good news for Battleborn is that they have 15 times the concurrent player amount.
And the bad news is that 15 times 1 is 15.
Close. 15 times 100 is 1500, which is a lot better than they were doing.
Yeah.
But they were working from quite a tiny base to begin with.
I'm kind of reminded of like Evolve when that went free to play.
Well, Evolve had a massive, like, they had thousands on when they went free to play. I guess they just weren't translating into actually paying for stuff. They were just playing for free and going, this is good.
Was it that like the player base kind of dwindled off quite quickly?
Possibly.
I know that, like, I can't remember the exact time scale or the exact time frame of the events around that, like at what point it went free to play, at what point they kind of stopped the development of the extra stuff they had planned and so on. I don't really remember. I also don't really care.
They had the plug pulled by Square Enix, I think. Were they publishing? No, Take-Two. It was Take-Two. Yeah.
This is weird.
It's tough out there for multiplayer focused games.
This is weird solely because, like, okay, Evolve I bring up because of this, but the other day I was someone randomly mentioned Battleborn to me and said, hey, did you play Battleborn? What did you think of that? And this was the... I think this was either the day before or a few hours before they announced that it was going free-to-play.
Interesting. Interesting. I think there were rumors beforehand. They may have heard. Cause I think Steam's version got like a DLC that looked like it was called Battleborn Full Edition type of thing. And people were like,
As far as I know, I wasn't asked this because of anything. Just a totally out of the blue question, just because we were randomly talking about games. And then this led on to talking about Evolve in terms of like multiplayer games that had a really nice idea and then it didn't quite work out and then they went free to play.
Yeah. I've just remembered, Tim, tell the listeners about your E3 dream that's definitely going to be real and come true.
I had a dream where there was like a Sega event at E3, except it was run by the fans for some reason. I don't know, because like Sega were doing like their own event or something later, or they were joining in with one of the others, but the fans were like, no, we're going to have a Sega event as well. Alpha Protocol 2 was announced.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm now fully expecting that to happen.
If this does happen, you're going to call me a wizard and burn me.
No, because you've predicted Alpha Protocol 2. You're like the the prophet. Announcing the coming of the next great game.
Made by Cyanide.
Yeah.
That was your addendum to this when I told you about this.
Yeah, well, I was like, okay, what would ruin the announcement of Alpha Protocol 2? Made by someone who is bad at characters and story.
Published by EA.
Oh, great. Alpha Protocol Ultimate Team coming soon. I'll trade my Mike Thornton cards for your Steve Heck card.
I would take that trade. I would have to think about it, though.
Mm-hmm. That's about the news, I reckon.
Why? Okay. Right, that's it for the news, but I want to... I'm going back to Alpha Protocol for a moment. Why is that setting so rare? Like Spy-Fi?
I don't know, and it's a good question. Rockstar had their game called Agent for a while that then exists purely as a name. That seemed like it was going to be that. Well, I mean, that would have been good, probably.
Like the original, I think Black Ops 1, the Black Ops 1 or Black Ops 2, Black Ops 2 probably, that was Spy-Fi. Alpha Protocol was Spy-Fi. I can't think of much else. I guess you could say that sort of the James Bond games sort of are, but they also kind of aren't because they don't really embrace that. It's they're more just sort of shooters and racing, driving stuff, only with some gadgets.
I don't know why we can't have a sort of contemporary spy with a bit of I mean, Spy-Fi.
Yeah, you've kind of got the older bits and pieces as well, like Evil Genius, but that was more a parody of the old James Bond movies. That wasn't really Spy-Fi, and also it wasn't even remotely serious. And I don't know, I wouldn't really call Deus Ex the original. I mean, I wouldn't call that Spy-Fi either. It's got elements of it. It's got like conspiracies and the secrets and the combination of secret agents and sneaking around and shooting all the men. That's a little bit more actual
I feel that's
sci-fi.
I think that's a bit too far future and a bit too it's into cyberpunk, really.
Yes.
I don't have an official delineation from when one crosses into the other.
I have like a mental area where I wouldn't put Deus Ex into that. It's got elements of it. Like the first 3 hours, maybe you could say that's quite Spy-Fi, but after that, not so much. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's weird. That feels like fertile ground for games, and yet it's something that just hasn't really happened.
Maybe E3 will bring you some gifts, Tim.
Like not Alpha Protocol 2.
Not Alpha Protocol 2, probably, no. But Yeah. What have you been playing?
Not much. To be honest.
No, me either. But hey, let's work with what we've got.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that pre-E3 period where everyone has stopped releasing games except for indie developers, the poor naive bastards.
I got a couple of emails today with like, oh, this game's out today. What are you doing? This can't be a good idea.
I got a couple of emails today with, hey, our game came out 2 weeks ago.
Well,
here's a key.
That's naive.
A little bit.
it's charming, but a little
basically
bit
sending us any emails at this point is naive. I don't mean that
headline saying E3.
I don't mean that in like a bad way or a mocking way. It's just we're a little bit busy at the moment. Dota, like quite a lot of the multiplayer things, weirdly enough. Bit of Dota, bit of Overwatch, bit of Heroes of the Storm. Gone back into Final Fantasy 14. That's the MMO one.
The MMO one.
To try and prepare myself for the launch of the new expansion right after E3. At least I think that's after E3. Fucking hope.
Well, see, at least they're doing it after E3. that's relatively sensible.
Yeah, but I've got a feeling that this is. I've got a feeling code for that may be arriving sooner rather than later.
I see what you mean, yes.
Although, with that being, I mean, even if that's the case, I don't know, the servers might not be online or whatever. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah. What have you been doing in Final Fantasy 14?
Trying to finish the main storyline quest thing. Because one of the things that they do, and they do really well, is they do like a content patch every 3 months or so. And it does add on to the story. It continues the story and it adds in new dungeons and all sorts of new features and shit. And because it is an actual story-focused MMO, of which there are very few. You do have to have like finished the story before you can go into the expansion areas. You finish the original game, A Realm Reborn, and then you've got like 5 patches worth of quests and dungeons to do before you can actually get into Heavenswood, which was the first expansion.
Right.
And then, you know, I finished Heavenswood and made it up to like the third patch storyline. And now I've still got like 2 patches worth to go, I think, with dungeons and stuff that people are telling me is really hard, and I'm slightly worried and kind of thinking that maybe when Square Enix said, hey, do you want one of the code things that lets you skip directly ahead through the storyline?
You should have said, yes.
Yeah. Because that is one of the other things they're doing, is with the release of Stormblood and patch 4.0, they're going to let you pay money to instantly level up one job to 60, or to skip through part of the storyline. Like, you can either skip to, I think it's the end of the original game, or the end of Heavenswood, or the end of the patches. You can pay if you want to be totally ready for Stormblood, but
I see why, but it also seems like a shame that you're paying to not do the story of the game that you're supposedly enjoying.
I would agree. I think I
see why it's there as an option, you know.
I think some
if
of it
all
might
your
be
friends are playing the other one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just that, but I think some of it may also be like, if you stopped playing but a bunch of your friends still played, or your guild or what have you, they may have migrated to another server or something, so rather than migrate over there and play through all of it, you can start a new character and pay $20 and be level 60, and then pay another $20 and be at Storm or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's nice that the option is there. The job leveling thing might prove to be quite useful, because there are fucking shitloads of them, and leveling them all up takes a while. Because you can do all of those on any character. You can swap class pretty much at will. So you only ever have to have one character, which is nice. I don't know. It's not something that bothers me. It's the sort of practice that I feel like I should deride, but it's also entirely optional, so I don't really care.
I know, it's a dangerous area though, isn't it? Because you let enough of these things go and suddenly they're fucking everywhere. They are optional, but...
And like, okay, you can't like, it's not letting you skip to the end of this expansion. Like, the latest, as far as you can go, is the start of this expansion at level 60, which is like what the level cap was before the release of the expansion. So I mean, it's like, it's basically, yeah, you can get yourself up to the new content if you really want to. And you know, we are 2 expansions in, the game's been going for a while, I can kind of, you know, if there is a time to do it, it's probably now rather than 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's as you say, game's been around a fair while. That was also relaunched, wasn't it, originally?
Yes, because Final Fantasy XIV was a heap of shit.
And then they went, let's make it not a heap of shit. Which is good.
Yeah,
good to see.
It worked. It was quite astonishing, to be perfectly honest. And it was also... It was weird and quite pleasant to actually see a developer like actually say, we fucked up. We're going to fix this. And then fix it.
Yeah, and actually have the time and resources to be able to do that and for it to work.
Yeah.
It's quite rare, and actually.
Not only that, they actually incorporated that into the storyline, if I remember correctly.
All right.
Because A Realm Reborn, or rather the only version of Final Fantasy XIV you can play at the moment, is set after Final Fantasy XIV.
Right.
And all of the stuff that happened in Final Fantasy XIV is still actually part of the plot, including essentially the apocalypse happening, which is why the world looks quite a bit different. And yeah, there's lots of stuff. Like, yeah, they did a really good job with actually kind of re-releasing it as a sequel to itself.
Yeah.
I like Final Fantasy XIV. It's I get bored of MMOs very quickly, but Final Fantasy XIV has held my interest. It's got a generally good story, although it's a story that seems to be a lot better in the patches rather than the main game, possibly because they have less budget for massive cutscenes and new areas and things, and so they actually focus a bit more on like characters and plot development and underhanded deviousness rather than, oh, guy's got a big weapon, we need to fight him.
And massive hair, and he's riding a chocobo.
Yeah, it's got that. It's got interesting dungeon mechanics and stuff. It's got a lot to do. It's pretty good. I quite like it. I'm going to be playing Stormblood, I think. I don't know whether
getting that storm in your blood.
I don't know whether I'm happy about this. Because, like, I was there, like, okay, I'm going to have the week before E3 off, because nobody's going to release anything, it's going to be fine. And then I was told I had to write articles about Stormblood. And then, in the process of writing those articles, I got told that I'm also getting code for Stormblood. And now it's like, oh, great. So after E3, I get 90 hours of an MMO.
I don't think you have to. Well, I don't know. That's between you and the MMO, whether you want to play that for 90 hours. I went back to 1999 and played Silver. If listeners recall, Silver.
A game that I suspect very few people will know, which I think is kind of a shame, because I really liked it back in 1999.
It did okay. It sold like 300,000 or something like that. And it was apparently given away with... there was a British company called Tiny PC. They used to give it away as like, here's a game that you get with the pre-built PC. So I guess a few people played it that way too.
Fair enough. I mean, it's
so it did all right.
It's not one of those games that, like 1999. There were quite a lot of games that year.
There were quite a lot. It was a good year. Good year for games. Yeah. PC games particularly.
Yeah. So it's not one of the ones that necessarily stood out, which I think is a little bit unfair because it's actually quite unique for PC games, I feel.
Yeah, it's sort of. It gets a lot of references to being like a JRPG, although I don't see that entirely. So the look of it, maybe. It's going for a bit of a sort of Final Fantasy VII look.
Yes, it's got like rendered backgrounds, but polygonal characters, if I remember correctly.
But mechanically, it's really not. Mechanically, it's kind of an action RPG, but I don't mean Diablo.
Yeah, it's...
But also, I don't really mean Dark Souls either.
I think the combat's... Like, if I can remember 1999, and I can't, I think that a lot of people likened it back then more to Zelda than anything. Mm. Not in gameplay, but a little bit in terms of the combat.
The combat is sort of mouse... basically mouse-based. You hold down control, and then you kind of sweep your mouse left or right, up or down to do various thrusts and slashes and special moves and stuff, which still works pretty well to this day. I mean, I should say I wasn't playing the 99 original. I was playing the THQ Nordic Steam version, which is, it's basic. It's not like totally redone or anything. They've added a couple of things and, you know, it works well. 99% works on modern PCs and stuff like that. I say that because the intro is really fucked. The intro, the sound stutters, the audio goes completely out of sync. I have no idea why, because it's just a basic video file. When you go into the game's files, you can just play the video and it's fine. But in the game, it's broke. I don't really understand why. Beyond that, it's mostly pretty solid. They had an option for the menu system basically is kind of a radial so-called pie menu, and normally when you open that up, it doesn't pause the game. They had an option that would pause.
Radial menus were cool.
Yeah. This was
wow. Yeah, this was a radial menu on PC before radial menus appeared on console. Really,
but actually, kind of designed for for the mouse. So supposedly there was an option to pause on Pi menu opening, which would have been useful because normally it doesn't pause, and if you're trying to do stuff in combat, that's a bit annoying. That didn't really work. It kind of fucked up the rendered backgrounds. You would get like extreme tearing, I guess. Like the top half of the background would shift, or like the left hand side of it would completely shift, and things broke. So they removed that in the most recent version that I've played. But they added a couple of extra graphics upscaling options to kind of smooth off some of the aliasing on the characters and things like that, which works pretty fine. So that's, I don't know. I think the pie menu thing might return if they can get it working properly. I'm sure it will. And I didn't play all the way through it, so I can't say for sure if any and all bugs possibly relating to it being on modern systems have been removed, but it seemed okay from the bits I played, and it was nice to play Silver again because it's kind of a fun game.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I kind of wish more people knew about, because a lot of people will talk about Thief and Deus Ex and System Shock and even loads of other games that don't necessarily deserve it, like Daikatana, but Silver was just one of those quite good games that most people have never heard of.
I remember it getting like kind of 7, 8 out of 10, in that kind of realm, which I think is still fine and accurate.
Yeah, it's a fair score. It's a fun game. It's not groundbreaking. Actually, that's kind of a lie. It is incredibly unique. It's not a superb game. It's not a complete universe changing thing. It's just a really solidly made, entertaining romp. And I like it quite a lot, or at least I did. Oh God, 18 years ago.
Yep. So yeah, it's worth looking at. If you already have the GOG version, this isn't radically different, really. So I wouldn't necessarily bother.
I'm going to go and see if I have the GOG version. It seems like the sort of thing that I would have bought when it was on sale at some point.
Probably. But if you've never played it before and you fancy a sort of Zelda-ish rendered background, polygonal characters, action combat.
The combat is what I mean when I say Zelda-ish. The game itself,
yep.
Not so much.
No, there is...
The game itself feels a bit more like a standard RPG, although a bit more linear.
It's not completely linear. I mean, I recall quite a few points where you have to sort of go back and forth a little bit between you often return to a kind of hub and then you go off to a new area that's opened up is generally how it works, and sometimes it can be a little bit tricky figuring out which the next bit that's going to open up is. I seem to definitely remember that back from playing it. I'm not sure. I can't remember if I ever finished it, and I'm not sure I did. I think I got like to some sewers bits pretty far and deep into the game, and then either hit a bug or something, or maybe just found it too hard. I don't know. It was pretty hard, right? I seem to recall it being a pretty difficult game. It's not generous with its healing materials.
it had some bosses that were absolute shits too.
Yeah.
I don't think I own this.
Well,
I do own it. I have a box of it in the cupboard behind me over there.
Yeah, I think I've still got the CD with it on somewhere as well.
No, I've got it in proper big cardboard box like games used to come in.
Oh, amazing.
And they ate up even more space than we have now.
Right now, it's under $5 on Steam, so it's not.
Which means it's probably about £30.
I don't know what the pound's doing currently. I was having an exciting time last night, but
okay. Google tells me it is $4.79. And when I go, Steam tells me it is £4.99.
What? So it's more expensive in pounds. That doesn't make sense.
Not only is it more expensive in pounds, it's a higher number in pounds. So if you're in America, you can get it for probably about £3.50, £4. Whereas I'm paying, I would guess that's probably $6.50.
Is it just not on sale in the UK, or is that? Is that with 20% off? Or
no, there is nothing off there.
See, the US prices with a 20% off.
Okay.
So maybe they're just... No, I guess they're only having a sale in the US.
Well, is it still on sale? Maybe it's not on sale anymore.
I thought it was, but maybe not.
I don't know. Maybe.
It came out a couple of days ago on Steam, so... Exciting live action of figuring out whether.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do maths. I'm trying to work out if that's 20% off, that would make it $6.
I've got Steam open. I can have a look at the store page for this game.
Yes.
It's normally $5.99. Okay, it looks like it is $5.99 again.
Okay.
But it used to be. When it was on sale, it was £4.
Yeah, but before that, said. Peter, when it used to be on sale, it was like £30. Well, that was 18 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. And then it was...
Now, that is value. They have dropped more than £1 a year.
And then, but I'm pretty sure I bought it for £5 in like 2000 or 2001 in one of those classic games for £5 type thing. Wow. So, and now it's back to being £5-ish again.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me. That's about it.
Yeah.
We're now going to go and bury ourselves in a cocoon to emerge for the E3 press conference. The EA plays thing on Saturday will be our first one, I think.
And then I've got Bethesda at 5 a.m. on Monday morning.
If you want.
I or have Sunday said, night, if you prefer.
You don't have to do that one. I can handle that one.
I would. Yeah, this is where everything they announce is coming to PC.
Well, probably most of it. But,
and they never talk about their card game or MMO during this time.
No.
Yeah. So
here's a new Wolfenstein. Here's a new Elder Scrolls RPG. Here's a secret sci-fi RPG. Here's Dishonored 2 DLC. Here's Prey DLC.
Not all of those things
are going to happen.
I would feel like I feel bad leaving you to deal with conferences by yourself because they are a clusterfuck even with two people. I remember last year, I can't remember which conference it was that Paul skipped out on. I think it was the Ubisoft one or something like that, and it was absolutely fucking mental.
Well, we can talk about that after the podcast, Tim.
I'd rather talk about it on the podcast.
Well, I'm wrapping up this podcast, so we can't.
Okay.
There will be much E3 coverage next week on PCInvasion.com.
Unless the servers fall over or some other
then there
happens.
Won't be. Yeah.
That would be the worst, because then we'd have to actually like go back and watch all the stuff again.
There'd be no point to that. Nobody cares about the reveal of something like 2 days after it's happened at E3. That would be... Assuming the server falls over for a long time.
I still think that would be a thing that we would have to do. We would have to get all the trailers up and do everything. Just later and more... Anyway.
It seems pointless to me. Anyway, alright.
E3 seems pointless to me.
It's
not pointless. I just don't like it. I remember the days when I like actually enjoyed E3 before this was a job.
Yeah.
It was like, ooh, announcements and vaguely exciting things and too much stuff for me to pay attention to. I'll just look at the bits that look really interesting. Now I look at everything and it's all work.
None of it's good.
And there's no Aisha Tyler either.
No, there isn't. I mean, she'll still be on Twitter. She might watch the Ubisoft conference with us. I don't know.
Let's do a live stream of the Ubisoft conference, and we'll get Aisha Tyler to be in on it.
Cool. We'll get on that. Right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Silent under the dawn of that last great day.